D-Mace Finnegan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Gabe Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service, and we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. Willie Donick out today. It's the first day of school, Derek Mason.
Yes, it is.
Titans rookies and veterans report to training camp today. First practice tomorrow at noon. Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi will hold their pre-training camp news conference. We will carry that for you live. Tim Hasselbeck of ESPN will join us at 1 o'clock. But Derek, what's it like on the first day of training camp, the first day of school? I remember when I would go back to school, a lot of you listening, your kids are getting ready to go back to school in a couple of weeks, right?
Uh-huh.
You got your new backpack, your new shoes, your new markers, your new Texas Instruments calculator, your TI-83.
Mm-hmm.
You're excited. So what's it like when you, after the long off season, you report to camp for the first time? How are you feeling? What's it like in the building when you walk back in for the first day of training camp?
I mean, it's just like, you know, you explain. We're no different. You know, think of football players, athletes, as big children. That's all we are. We are kids at heart. So when you, anytime you've been, you know, away from your classmates, when you see them that first day, it's just like, hey, what's going on? You know, them ragging on you, you ragging on them. You know, how, you know, you look good, man. How's the family and everything else? And you're just happy to see everybody. But for others, I know, you know, especially the rookies, they're coming in and they're like freshmen and they're trying to figure some things out. And, you know, they are not leading a pack. They're following a pack. What a veteran do, you're doing. You want to be there. As a matter of fact, you want to be there when the veterans come in. So, and then you have a tier guys that are coming back that want to prove something, that knows that they are, their roster spot is not secure. So they come in the building and they have a different perspective. You know, it's almost as if they're walking in as freshmen in a sense, because there's no security. They may know a few things, but they don't know enough that they've, you know, on their way to graduation, so to speak. So, and that's that second contract. So, I mean, but all in all, we're just like big kids. The coaches love it because now they got everybody in one building for the next 6 or 7 months. So they love that. But all in all, man, it's a fun time. There's going to always be, I always have butterflies no matter what. There's always going to be some anxiety, you know, and you're sort of measuring yourself up to who you were last year and you know, coming in hoping that you've gotten better. And praying that you don't have any injuries throughout camp. So, but it's we're big kids. Don't think we do something special. They may drive up in much, you know, much fancier cars. No longer are we riding up in bicycles or the old beat down car that mama bought us. No, they're riding in not motorcycles, but they're riding in on, you know, 6-figure cars. So, but all in all, the mentality is the same. You know, we're like big kids.
I remember those days, those first days of school, especially when it was lunchtime and you've got your tray and you're looking around. Where do I sit? And you end up sitting in the bathroom stall by yourself eating your lunch.
I don't think there was ever anyone on the team that actually did that. But when you say that, it's the same with grown kids, athletes. You're trying to find out, you know, coming as a rookie, now you're there with the veterans, you're trying to find out, where do I sit? Like, you know, should I sit right there? Does Ray Lewis sit over there? Does Eddie George sit right there? Does Steve McNair, you know, which one of these guys sit here?
Where does Derek Mason sit? I don't want to sit there.
You know, and so, or you try to find your group, you know, your wide receiver group. And typically, the young fellas, you get in your group with your wide receivers until you start to expand your friend group. So, But that's how it is.
I'm just imagining
how you explained it.
I'm just imagining one of your later training camps, some rookie sitting in your seat and you walking up to them. That's my seat, rookie.
I just tap them, best believe. I just give them a little tap on the shoulder. That's all.
That's my seat,
fool. Hey, man. Especially in meeting rooms, this is where it gets funny. In the big meeting room or the smaller meeting rooms. Because after a while, veteran guys, we stake our claim. Like, boom, we here.
Where was your seat?
In my seat, boom. Like, if I was in the smaller room, I was in the front, my start of my career. Toward the latter part of my career, I was in the back where the coach was. So it kind of depend. But in a meeting room, I was always, you know, right toward the middle part, but closer to the edge seats. And people knew it. Like, people knew where Steve McNair sat. Nobody sat there. People knew where Ray and Eddie and you know, Suggs and Reed, those guys sat, and no one sat there. And those rookies will find that out very quickly, because you walk into a meeting room and you sit down and somebody said, hey, scoot over, man. Scoot over.
Are the rookies expected to sit?
Oh, they're in the front.
Right in the front.
Oh, absolutely they're expected. It would be malpractice if you take your little narrow tail to the back of the room as a rookie. You better sit somewhere within that first 5 to 7 rows, somewhere where the coach can lay eyes on you as you're speaking. That's where you need, or unless, you know, the position coach said, hey, we're all going to sit in this little particular area right here. But outside of that, you better be in the front row.
One of those rookies finally signed his contract yesterday. The Titans agreed to terms, according to Tom Pelissero, with second-round pick outside linebacker Femi Oladejo, a 4-year, $8,415,106 contract, with the first 3 years fully guaranteed and a signing bonus of roughly $2.8 million. Mm-hmm. We spent a lot of time discussing the fact that for quite a while, there were only 2 second-round draft picks signed. Those 2 second-round picks received fully guaranteed contracts. So the two sides, the rookies and the teams, were waiting to see who would blink first. But Femi Oladejo, he is signed. He will report to training camp today. That's a big one, considering the pick that was invested in him, as well as the importance of trying to find an edge rusher who can help this team.
They sorely need an edge rusher, and he sorely needs someone that can put the pressure on the quarterback. Now, we expect that, you know, Jeffrey Simmons will be a much better version, or a better version of himself, than he was last year. It seems like, you know, he's dropped some weight a little bit, so he's going to try to get to the quarterback. But we can't, you know, bank on Jeffrey Simmons, you know, getting, you know, double-digit plus sacks. Now, if he reached double digits, that's great. But, you know, he needs to be somewhere 9+. But that pressure, no doubtably, needs to come from the outside. And, you know, since the days of, you know, Harold Landry when he was younger, before the injury, they haven't had a consistent pass rusher on the edge. Now, Harold came back, and it took him a minute, and he came back to be an 8-sack guy, somewhere 8.5 sack guy. But they need a guy that can get double-digit sacks from the outside. And he's a guy that they're hoping, you know, can do it.
So yesterday, Derek, Willie gave me a homework assignment. Uh-huh. He wanted me to find out how many rookie quarterbacks who started week one appeared in every game for their team that season. So my spidey senses started tingling. My nerdy senses started tingling. I sat down. I pulled up my Excel spreadsheet, my calculator. All of those things took a puff out of my inhaler. I don't actually have an inhaler.
We need to get him like a song, some type of song when he goes into this.
It's like a bat signal.
Nerd song! Exactly.
Instead of a bat in the sky, it's a calculator. So here's what I did, Derek.
Uh-huh.
I looked at every rookie, first-round quarterback who started every game for their team that season. Or sorry, I wanted to find out how many of those rookie first-round quarterbacks started every game for their team. I looked. I went all the way back to 2008.
Okay.
Since 2008, there have been 26 rookie first-round quarterbacks who started week one. Again, 26 rookie first-round quarterbacks who started week one since 2008. Of those 26, how many do you think started every game that season?
Ooh.
And I will tell you, I was surprised by the number.
There were 28 of them.
There were 26.
26.
26 rookie first-round quarterbacks who started week one since 2008.
Oh, started week one.
Who
okay.
started week one, because this was Willie's premise.
Yes.
Cam Ward is expected to start week one against the Denver Broncos. But as we were talking about Will Levis yesterday and the backup quarterback situation, we were all in agreement that at some point Cam Ward will probably have to come out of the lineup.
Okay.
So Willie wanted to find out how many rookie quarterbacks who started week one made it through the entire season. I limited it to the first round quarterbacks mm-hmm. because I wanted a smaller sample to deal with.
Okay.
So there have been 26 of them since 2008. How many started every game?
Man. Off the top of my head, I would say 8.
I'm thinking 13.
I'm thinking 8.
So Derek says 8. David says 13.
Started every game since 2000.
Since 2008.
Oh my goodness.
So I will give you an example that you lived firsthand.
Uh-huh.
In 2008, Joe Flacco, rookie first round quarterback, started week one, mm-hmm. started all 16 games.
Yep.
So how many quarterbacks like Flacco since 2008 were drafted in the first round? Started week one of their rookie year.
I would say 10.
And David, you're sticking with 13?
I am.
I'll say 10.
The answer is 15.
Ooh,
wow.
15 of 26 rookie first-round quarterbacks started week one and made it through the entire season. Here's the list. All three first-round rookie quarterbacks from last season, Jaden Daniels, mm-hmm. Bo Nix, and Caleb Williams, mm-hmm. all three made 17 starts. 2023. None. Anthony Richardson started 4 games. C.J. Stroud started 15 games. Bryce Young started 16 games. So Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud almost started every game, uh-huh. but they did not. In 2021, Mac Jones and Trevor Lawrence both started 17 games. Zach Wilson started 13 games. In 2020, Joe Burrow started 10 games. In 2019, now keep in mind, we're going back to 16 games now, not 17. Mm-hmm. Kyler Murray made 16 starts okay. in his rookie season. Sam Darnold made 13. Carson Wentz made 16. Marcus Mariota made 12. Jameis Winston made 16. So since 2015, there have been 15 rookie first-round quarterbacks who started week one. 8 started every game. Going back even further, E.J. Manuel, 10 starts in 2013. Mm-hmm. In 2012, Robert Griffin, 15 starts. Andrew Luck, 16 starts. Ryan Tannehill, 16 starts. Brandon Weeden, 15 starts. 2011, Cam Newton, 16 starts. 2010, Sam Bradford, 16 starts. 2009, Mark Sanchez, 15 starts. Matthew Stafford, 10 starts. Joe Flacco, 16 starts. Matt Ryan, 16 starts.
So they had two in that class that played the whole season from start to finish. Joe Flacco and Matt Ryan.
Yes, in 2008.
I think more and more you're going to start to see quarterbacks start the season, and the only way they don't finish the season is because of injury. Because I'm hard pressed to believe that even with Richardson, I think he was dealing with the shoulder, and I think they would have let him play the whole season out. I think because he needed the experience, he needed. To be underneath center. He needed time on task because he hadn't had a lot of that in college. So I think now teams are looking at it from the standpoint of you're going to be our day one starter. Now it depends on, how late in the first round they're drafted, because some guys get drafted, you know, at the bottom of the first round. And, you know, if they start, great. But the expectation is the veteran quarterback is going to lead us for another year or two, and you will be the guy. But most times, if you're in that top 10, they want you to start early. And they're putting you out there. And once they put you out there, especially if this is the first game of the year, they're not looking to pull you unless, one, you get injured, or it just looks so bad that you have to. But I don't think situations come to that as far as now. You may make some bonehead mistakes like Will Levis did his second year, but it'd be hard-pressed for an organization to pull their quarterback, you know,
I do want to make one amendment.
Uh-huh.
Mark Sanchez started 15 games, not 16 games in 2009. So okay. It's 14 of 26. So still, more than half.
Yeah.
More than half, which I was surprised by.
Now, I guarantee you, if you go back, there's a time period, if you go back where the number dwindles. Like,
I'm sure.
Because in that day and age of football, it was almost a requirement that you were going to sit your first year, maybe second and third, because of the length of the contracts.
I do have one more trivia question for the both of you.
Mm-hmm.
I was curious how many Titans quarterbacks in franchise history, so limited to Tennessee Titans, mm-hmm. not Houston Oilers, Tennessee Oilers/Titans history. How many quarterbacks have made it through an entire season starting every game? I will tell you that two of them did it on multiple occasions, but there are three Titans starting quarterbacks who started every game in a season for the Tennessee Titans.
Oh, boy. Marcus didn't do it.
Marcus did not.
Yeah, because he played 15 games, I think, somewhere around there. Ryan Tannehill.
He did twice.
Yeah.
In 2021, 17 starts, and in 2020, 16 starts.
Steve McDare didn't. I don't think he ever.
Steve did it three times.
Did he do it? It must have been Steve early in his career.
He started 16 games in 1997, 1998, and 2002.
Yep, early in his
that
career.
Makes sense.
Early
makes
in his
sense.
Career.
So
yeah.
Tannehill did it twice in 2021 and 2020. Steve McNair did it three times in 2002, 1998, and 1997. Can you name the other?
Ooh, gosh. It wasn't Vince.
It was not Vince Young.
Kerry.
Yeah,
was it Kerry Collins?
Was it Kerry?
It was not Kerry Collins.
Okay, so.
Zach? Remember?
No. It was, I'm trying to think of the quarterbacks. Jake Locker?
No. Do you need a hint?
Yes.
We'll be talking to a relative of his later today.
Oh, Matt.
Matt Hasselbeck started 16 games
really?
For the Titans in 2011.
Oh, I did not know that.
I thought he
that.
Came in, or I thought, Jake Locker played some that season.
I
thought he may
too.
Have started a game or two that season.
Let me double check. In 2000.
I'm not saying you're wrong, but I was just like, man.
Locker appeared in five games,
okay.
But he did not make any starts.
Oh,
that makes sense.
Hasselbeck started all 16 games for the Tennessee
Titans.
In 2011.
Oh, wow.
So the only three quarterbacks in Titans history who started every game in a season, Ryan Tannehill twice, Matt Hasselbeck once, and Steve McNair three times.
What a list.
That's a shame because only one of those guys were drafted by you. And the other two guys you brought in, free agents, which means I go back to this. After Steve McNair, this team has had a hard time developing quarterbacks. Just look at it. Even Marcus, he did a good job, but he hit a ceiling very early in his career. And then he was, you know, dealing with some injuries, but he ended up losing his starting job. So this organization hadn't been able to develop a quarterback, and I hope it changes with Cam Ward this year and moving on.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. A reminder that Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi will address reporters at noon. We will carry that news conference for you live. Tim Hasselbeck will join us at 1 o'clock. But coming up next, DVD, we are sponsoring a charitable event, let's call it. Not really, but for the purpose of this segment. I'm going to call it Adopt a Titan. That is the DVD-sponsored charity event, and I will explain what Adopt a Titan is coming up next. 615-737-1025. Tune into ESPN 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on Charlotte at First Horizon Park. Pre-game begins at 6:20 and the first pitch is at 6:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. This week's Nashville's best deal is Eastside Bowl in Madison. Right down the street from my house in East Nashville. I'm a big fan of Eastside Bowl. A vintage bowling alley, music venue, lounge, an arcade designed by locals for locals. Get 2 hours of bowl plus shoe rentals for up to six people for just $45 while supplies last. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to get yours now. Derek Mason, Adam Bingen, David Janes here with you. So as training camp is about to begin, rookies and veterans report today. First practice is tomorrow. We are going to hold a quote-unquote charity event. I'm going to call it Adopt a Titan. And here is what we're going to do, and you can participate as well, at 615-737-1025. Derek, as you know, most of the roster spots are spoken for.
Yes.
On the Tennessee Titans. But there are always roster battles. There are depth players who are fighting for a roster spot. And to me, that's the most interesting part of training camp most years. Which player that we don't know much about is going to stand out during the preseason and stake a claim to a roster spot when the 53-man roster is due. So this is what we're going to do. David, you can participate as well. We are each going to pick a bubble player that we are going to invest in as camp kicks off. And we are going to monitor that player's progress, those players' progress, throughout training camp. So, Derek, we'll start with you. Which bubble player are you, quote-unquote, adopting as training camp kicks off today?
Man, we need some. Don't we need some type of music, like background music or something? I don't know what type of music would go along with an adoption.
We'll leave that to David. He has a good vibe for this sort of thing.
A football adoption, let's just say that.
A football adoption.
A football adoption.
We'll find something.
Yeah, we'll find something. But you said guys that are bubble guys that I believe – or that I will adopt and monitor.
Yes.
Throughout the whole season, throughout the whole training camp.
Yes.
And the guy that I'm going with is Jaquan Jackson.
Okay.
Better known as JJ. I'm going to call him JJ.
Jaquan Jackson.
Yes. Last year for him was weird to me. And I talked to TD a few times about Jaquan Jackson because it looked like he was one of the guys at the beginning of the camp that was seemed to be coming on. He showed some explosiveness, some quickness, his ability to get in and out of his breaks. They talked about it. Coach talked about him, knowing the offense and everything else. So they spoke highly of him early on. And then it sort of flipped once he had – I like it. There we go. Once he had the fumble. And things never sort of balanced out anymore for him. Even with all of their problems at the wide receiver position last year, them trading away D-Hop, they were not synced. The quarterback and receiver, Ridley, and either one of the quarterbacks really were not in sync. Rudolph was more than Levis, but there still was something off with Ridley. So that was a room that needed pass catchers desperately last year because they didn't have one. We knew what Nick Westbrook-Ikhine was. He was a good receiver, okay? He's your three, your four. But he's not a guy that is going to come in and dominate a game week in and week out. He may score you a touchdown 8 weeks in a row, but that's really about it. It's not going to build on that touchdown. So I was wondering, I kept wondering, like, why isn't this kid getting on the field? Like, he showed that he has some burst and everything else. Why isn't he getting back on the field? Well, part of it was, I think, that his inability to play on the special teams. More importantly, the return game. When you can't play on a return game and you're a fourth, fifth wide receiver, the likelihood of you seeing a field, let alone dressing, goes down tremendously. And he ended up being deactivated for, I think, a part of the season.
I recall him having some issues.
Yes.
Fielding punts.
Exactly. So this is a guy that I am, that I am going to purposely be invested in, because I want to see, has he matured? Has he gotten better? Has he developed? What does his second year look like as opposed to last year? Did he learn something from last year? Is he come in with a better attitude? That's what I want to see. So this is the guy that I am choosing to adopt and make the guy that I will watch, look over, take care of throughout the whole training camp.
So Derek is quote-unquote adopting Jaquan Jackson as the bubble player he is most invested in as camp kicks off. Jared Stillman wants to get in on this.
Okay.
He is adopting Bryce Oliver.
Ah, another receiver.
He is adopting Bryce Oliver. I think Bryce Oliver will be a preseason darling. So Jared is quote-unquote adopting Bryce Oliver. I also am adopting a pass catcher, but not a primary pass catcher. I am adopting, quote-unquote, tight end David Martin Robinson. I am adopting David Martin Robinson. He was the Titans' best pass catcher in the preseason last season. 9 catches, 113 yards over 3 preseason games last year. However, he did not play in the regular season until week 14. If I recall correctly, the Titans kept 5 tight ends on the roster, which was a curious decision. So David Martin Robinson barely got any playing time. He did not make his NFL debut until week 14. But I'm not confident that Chigakonkwo is going to lock down tight end one all season long. That isn't to say that I think David Martin Robinson is going to be tight end one. There's also Gunnar Helm. Mm-hmm. David Martin Robinson.
Wiley?
I think David Martin Robinson is going to take a roster spot from Josh Wiley.
Oh.
I would not be shocked. If Josh Wiley fails to make the cut. So David Martin Robinson, to me, he's probably tight end 3 behind Chigakonkwo and Gunnar Helm. But I'm hopeful that David Martin Robinson can get more playing time throughout the course of the season. I liked what I saw from him in the preseason. So I am, quote-unquote, adopting David Martin Robinson. He will be the bubble player I am most invested in as camp kicks off. David James, who are you, quote-unquote, adopting in our Adopt a Titan drive?
So I'm also going with a pass catcher, but I'm going with the other tight end, Gunnar Helm. I think he's going to be one of those guys who's going to be a media darling. He's going to be someone that everyone's going to like. He seems like a good guy. You know, and I think he's going to be one of those guys who's going to be good quotes. He's going to be really fun to interact with as a media person and – I don't know. I just liked him. I don't want to go. I thought about going with Xavier Restrepo, but I was like, that's too easy. That's too easy.
But that's okay.
I mean, that would have been. It wouldn't have been bad.
No, it wouldn't.
It would have been. People would have looked at it and said, okay.
Xavier Restrepo. If we're going to use the adoption metaphor here, Xavier Restrepo is if you go to a humane association and they're they're adopting dogs. Restrepo is the one that's standing right up on the gate, tail wagging, pushing all of the other puppies aside. He's the one that wants the most attention. Uh-huh. He's the one that's going to grab the most attention because of his relationship with Cam Ward. Okay. So Restrepo, I know that's probably the easy selection. I think a lot of people would choose to, again, quote-unquote, adopt Xavier Restrepo in this. So, Derek, you pick Jaquan Jackson.
Yes.
David, you pick Gunnar Helm. Jared picks Bryce Oliver. I pick David Martin Robinson. Who else did we leave off? Who else should we include in this conversation?
I mean, we can always go Mason Kinsey. Because it seems like Mason Kinsey just pops up no matter what. Here's another name.
Mason Kinsey is the dog who doesn't get adopted, but he's always there.
He's always there.
The people who work at the adoption agency,
they keep him at the front.
They love this dog.
They keep him at the front.
Right. They love this dog.
They're sad when he does get adopted.
Exactly.
They're like, God, make sure to take care of him really well.
Right.
So that's Mason
Kinsey.
Here's what's interesting, because I'm going to throw another name in here. Each one of these guys have been a pass catcher of some sort, whether it's been tight end or receiver. That may show not necessarily the talent in the room, but it shows how closely contested the room is. Now, whether they are A1 talent or not, time will tell. But this room is, they're so closely contested that anyone really outside of Calvin Ridley, you can kind of, you know, depending on what they're doing and how they're doing it, you can kind of slide him in. But the guy that we miss and we haven't talked about is Colton Dow.
Okay.
He's another guy that I think, because he was hurt last year, he played a little special teams, I think, during the preseason. Big guy, got some speed to him. They liked him. They drafted, I think it was 6th, 7th round, somewhere around there.
It was near the end of the draft.
Yeah, end of the draft. And he was one of those guys that they were looking at to grab a roster spot last year. And ultimately he did, but I think he – didn't he go on IR or he got hurt? Something happened with him.
It was a knee injury, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, so he got put on IR early in the season, I believe. So he's another guy that we don't know exactly – who he is or what he is, but we know they liked him enough that they drafted him. And because this wide receiver room isn't truly rich at top-end talent, they got some talented receivers, some young receivers that can make a name for themselves. Iyo Manor, DK, Jaquan Jackson, guys like that. But they don't have, you know, the top-end, you know, top three receivers in the National Football League. I think Vance Jefferson is going to be really good for this offense. How that works out is yet to be seen. But you look at guys like Colton Dow, Bryce Oliver, Jaquan Jackson, even Xavier Restrepo. They all got a chance because this wide receiver room isn't deep at proven talent. Let me say that.
615-737-1025. Which Titans bubble player are you most invested in as camp kicks off? You can, quote-unquote, adopt them. Derek has adopted Jaquan Jackson. I have adopted David Martin Robinson. David has adopted Gunnar Helm. Jared has adopted Bryce Oliver. Who are you, again, quote-unquote, adopting? Which Titans bubble player are you most invested in as camp kicks off? 615-737-1025. Mike Borgonzi, Chad Brinker will address reporters in roughly 20 minutes. We will preview that news conference and what we want to hear from them in that news conference coming up next. 615-737-1025 this September. Tim McGraw will be performing at Trintix's Rock the Cradle in Nashville, a meaningful event supporting newborns and moms at Ascension St. Thomas Midtown. Get your tickets now at rockthecradlenashville.com. Titans training camp gets started tomorrow. Tune in for player interviews and the latest updates on the Titans as the team preps for the 2025-2026 season. Coverage of Titans training camp is presented by Macero and 12 South and Parman Energy Group. Derek Mason, Adam Ving, and David Janes here with you. Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi scheduled to address reporters in roughly 15 minutes. We will bring that to you live. Before we get to our next topic, Derek, some texters want to adopt some Titans of their own.
Okay.
Josh on our text line says he would pick Tavondre Sweat, but that would be too much puppy chow to buy, which is true. But Tavondre Sweat wouldn't qualify for this exercise because his place on the roster is safe. Secure. He's going to make the team. Alex from Montreal says, I don't know if he's a bubble player, but I am going with James Williams, eager to see his evolution. I would say absolutely James Williams. He's in a battle for the inside linebacker spot next to Cody Barton. So I would absolutely say James Williams is qualified for adoption in our case.
Anybody that is not competing for a starting job, those guys are bubble guys because, you know, if you're just competing for that second job, then your job is always in limbo. You see what I'm saying? It's unless you're competing for that job, like that starter, you're pushing that starter. Because if I'm competing with him, they think I'm good enough to be on the roster, but they want to see if I've developed to be good enough to be a starter now. So when that happens, you're not a bubble guy. But when you're competing to be between a 2 and a 3, I think that's when you become a bubble guy.
So James Williams, Alex, absolutely qualifies as a player up for quote-unquote adoption. TD from Nashville, not Teron Davenport, says, thank you, Mace, for mentioning Colton Dow. I think he will do well. See what I did there? Yeah. He has special teams game time as well. What it takes to make it when you're on the bubble, don't count him out. So TD in Nashville. Thanks you for mentioning Colton Dowell.
Yeah, that because that's an interesting one, man. He fits the bill as far as makeup. He's 6'3", 220, a little bit less, maybe 210. That's not a little, that's a lot. But he was their seventh-round pick. He sort of showed a little flashes here and there. He got put on IR very early, I believe. I think he only caught one pass during the regular season. And then actually was in the middle of the season where he got put on IR because he played 10 games. So he missed, seven? And some of it had to do with injury. So it'll be interesting to see how he comes back and how he fits in the receiving room. And Willie said it last week. Like, if you're a receiver, the week before that, before I went on vacation, he said, if you're a receiver, it's like, take me. I want to go to the Titans. Why? Because there's outside of Calvin Ridley, really, there's no slot, sitting there with somebody's name on it. That spot has a question mark. 2, 3, 4, 5 have a question mark. All of those spots have a question mark, and even 6. So when there's a question mark, if I'm any receiver out there, I want to come to the Titans and compete for a spot.
Adam in Portland says that Jared has a better shot to make the 53 than Colton Dowell. Adam, don't give Jared any ideas.
Yes, please don't. And again, I need to understand why would he say that? He has, because again, if we're dealing with the receiver room that, had, 5 guys legitimately, and again, they may end up having 5 guys legitimately.
Let's start here. How many locks are there at wide receiver? Ridley, Lockett, Jefferson, Iomanner, and Deacon.
No, I wouldn't even say they're locks.
The two rookie receivers in the fourth round?
I am not going to say they're locks. I know this league.
Okay, you do know this league.
I'm not going to say they are locked. Now, they're more so on the, on the other side of
the
bubble.
So how many of them would you say are locks? Ridley, for sure. Lockett, yep. And Jefferson?
That's it.
That would be the 3 locks.
That would be the guys. And I'm even push. Yes, those would be the 3 guys that I think are a lock.
So you would have DK and Iomanner in the next group. Make the team, but you're not going to say a 100% certainty.
Absolutely. Because one of them, I'm not going to say both of them, because one of them could end on a practice squad.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So they're in that second tier. And they may be the only guys that are in that second tier.
So the remainder, you have Jaquan Jackson, Colton Dowell, Xavier Restrepo, Bryce Oliver, Mason Kinsey,
Treylon Burks.
So that's 6 receivers for 2 spots maybe?
James Porche.
So that's 7 receivers?
Yes.
For 2 spots maybe?
For really 2 more spots outside of the 3, and then okay, DK and Iomanner, let's put them on the other side of the bubble, but not quite, more than likely to make the team.
If we are looking at this from a bubble watch on ESPN before the NCAA
more than likely
tournament,
to make it.
You have Ridley, Lockett, and Jefferson as locks.
They're in.
You have Iomanner and DK as should be in.
Uh-huh.
And the rest are toss-ups.
And the rest are bubbles.
Yes. Toss-ups, bubbles, whatever you want to call it.
The rest of my bubbles. And that's how I see it. So there are guys that are really, depending on how many receivers they keep, there's only 2 spots. 2 spots that are sort of vacant right now. And 4, an extra 2 that maybe, but more than likely, they are allocated to Iomanner and DK. This is why I say, why do you mention, why do you say Colton Dowell is, we shouldn't mention him? Again, you got 4 spots. You got 2 that are up, another 2 that are maybe, and then another 3. Okay, they got their spots, unless they just, come into camp and they just don't show anything. And I'm talking about really Jefferson and Lockett, and I don't think that will be the case.
So Mike Borgonzi and Chad Brinker will hold their pre-training camp news conference in roughly 10 minutes. There are going to be a lot of questions about Will Levis. I am incredibly curious to hear how the two of them answer those questions, because we saw the statement from the team yesterday how they support Will Levis's decision. I will be curious to see the tone in which they answer those questions. I agree with Teron Davenport, who we had on yesterday, about I want to hear about the expectations for the season, specifically with Cam Ward, because the news yesterday of Will Levis being out for the season after, well, he has yet to undergo the season-ending surgery. He will, I believe, a week from today. That news ended any charade of a quarterback competition here in Nashville. This was always going to be Cam Ward's team. But there is no more, again, charade that Cam Ward is going to be competing for the number one spot. It's his. So I am curious how they will answer questions about their expectations for Cam Ward. And will they stick with him through thick and thin if things go up and down this season? Derek, what are you most interested in hearing from Borgonzi and Brinker in roughly 10 minutes?
I want to see it. I wish we could be there, because it goes right along with what you were talking about, because it's the most recent thing. And I think it was sort of a blind side to the Titans. I don't think the Titans probably expected that this was going to happen. They didn't give any indication that they knew this was coming up, because I'm sure had they would have probably said something a little bit earlier about this. I want to see the facial. I would love to see the facial expression in the body sort of.
Well, we will have access to the live stream.
So we'll watch the live
stream.
So
you'll be able to see that.
Exactly. So when that question is asked, because I do believe, whereas I think Will did what was best for his career, and I'm not going to sit here and ridicule him for that, because I saw the toughness that he played with during the season trying to come back. It's a different situation, a different time right now. And he's in a sort of dilemma, in a sense. Do I try to play in this hurt and potentially hurt it worse, or should I go ahead and get the surgery and be ready for free agency? Because that's all this is about, free agency, trade bait, making sure he's healthy, at least on Will Levis's side. So, but I think it blindsided the Titans. And I think they are a little bit perturbed, to say the least. I think they may be a little bit, you know, a little salty, a little sour taste in their mouth. You know, they're gonna try to put up. It's like when you eat one of those sour patches and you try to hold it so your friend won't know it got you, and you still try to look at him like, I got you, I'm gonna outlast you. That's gonna be the Titans. You may see a crack here and there when they're answering the questions, but I think for the most part they're gonna do a good job at holding that sour taste in.
So what you're saying is we need to give Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi a warhead.
Yes.
Remember those candies?
Exactly. Absolutely. Or the lemon heads. Yes.
But we will find out with all of you in just a matter of moments. Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi will address reporters ahead of training camp. We will carry that for you live. 615-737-1025. Speaking of us at 1025. 1025 The Game and Souls for Souls have teamed up for a back-to-school fundraiser, Souls for the 615, to provide new shoes for kids experiencing homelessness in Nashville. Help a child in Middle Tennessee step into the new school year with confidence by donating $20 for a new pair of athletic shoes. For more information and to donate, visit thegamenashville.com/shoes. Souls for the 615 is sponsored by Macero and 12 South. Go check them out for handcrafted cocktails, bold plates, great happy hour, and elevated hospitality.